It is a great privilege for me today, as I always do, to introduce our guest speaker. As I mentioned, today is Women's Ministries Day all across the Assemblies of God. Each church can determine what they're going to do with that, if they just want to mention it or if they want to have a special speaker or whatever. But most years, not every year, on Women's Ministries Day, we have Pastor Jan speak to us. And I am so glad that we're going to be able to have that privilege again this year. And as a way of introducing her, as most of you know, maybe not all of you, Pastor Jan is my wife. So just so you know, if you see us holding hands or something like that, okay, we are married. And very happily married, I will say. At least from my perspective, I'll say that. So, but as most of you know, maybe not all of you, she's been involved in so many areas of ministry through the years. She is an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. She's a missionary, thankfully not full-time. I'd have a hard time handling that. But she's made trips to Burkina Faso, Africa, Kenya, Africa, a number of other places. She's going to be taking a couple of people of our church to, God willing, to Honduras this summer. She's been involved in a lot of other ministries. She started ministering to children when she was still a child. God called her to ministry when she was very, very young. She's been involved in ministry to children, to young people, to women, and she's still involved in so many of those areas of ministry. And, of course, she also helps with the worship ministry of our church. I could say a lot more, but I won't, other than to say that, in addition to all that, she is my wife and my companion and my helpmate. We were talking about that in Genesis this morning, and I could not be who I am and do what I do without her. And so I'm very appreciative of her, but she's going to minister to us today. Come right ahead, sweetheart. I don't introduce most guest speakers by sweetheart, so.
Good morning. As always, it's such a joy and a privilege and honor to bring the Word of God when He opens that door for me, so I'm excited to do that for you today. But I do want to open with a word of prayer. Father God, I step back in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, to step in and speak through me. Every word you want to speak, oh God, nothing more, nothing less. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. I have to tell you a funny story. I'm sorry, I can't be still when I talk. So, several years ago, we hadn't moved. We were actually visiting a church in Arizona, and we were being considered for being the pastors of that church. And when we came in and I sat down, it was like the third row, I sat down and I was sitting there, and someone came in and said, excuse me, that's my seat. Well, me being who I am, I just thought, I'm going to let her find out later who I am. I didn't tell her, well, we're going to possibly be your next pastors, because that didn't matter. So when we were introduced, you should have seen the look on that lady's face. So you never know who might be sitting in your seat. I just thought that was kind of funny. I didn't take it offensively. I just thought it was pretty hilarious. I just wanted to open with that. But today is National Women's Ministries Day, and I've got my running shoes on. Somebody said, oh, I like when you preach because you step on my toes. And I said, brother, get ready. So I am going to bring a word for you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's not Jan's word. It's God's word, and it will encourage you. It will change you if you will receive it from God. Don't receive it from me, but receive it from God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And while you're turning there, let me just tell you, everyone in this room has been affected by storms in your life. You are either going through some kind of storm right now, or you just came through some kind of difficult storm, or you are getting ready to enter into a storm. That's life, my friend. I wish so much that we didn't, once you accept Jesus Christ, I wish your life was just a life of ease and joy and happiness and flowers. But that's not life. Life is all about ups and downs, storms that come in, storms that go out. And so I want to talk to you today about faith in the midst of a storm. Faith in the midst of a storm. You may be facing a physical storm right now. You may be facing an emotional storm. Maybe you're battling depression. You may be battling a financial storm. But whatever it is, I hope that by the time you leave here today, that you are encouraged and you know how to stand strong in the midst of your storm. Amen? All right, let's pick it up with Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23, and it says, "Then Jesus got into the boat and started across to the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Lord, save us! We're going to drown.' Jesus responded, 'Well, why are you afraid? You have such little faith.' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm." I like that word, suddenly, because when God is involved, it may feel like forever, but when it happens, it's a suddenly. Amen? You see, Jesus and his disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was tired, so he was taking a nap. And when they got into the boat, the sea was perfectly calm. You got to understand, some of these disciples had been fishermen. They were experienced with boating. They knew how to handle a boat during a storm. But you see, the Sea of Galilee was just a little bit different from most bodies of water that they would fish in. It was relatively small. It was 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, but 150 feet deep. Storms would come up suddenly, and the waves would be as high as 20 feet. Water began to fill the boat. And I'm sure the disciples are like, "Oh my goodness, we've never experienced something like this." And as the water just begins to come in and come in, they're like, "Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus?" Well, I can tell you where he was. He was in the boat. He was sleeping. Have you ever gone through a storm and you felt like, "Where is Jesus? Is he sleeping? Does he not know what I'm facing?" I've felt that way before. And if you'd be honest, I'm sure you have too, because we're all human. And that's what these disciples were. They're human, just like me and you. Sometimes we want to look at people in the Bible as superhumans. They were not. They were flesh and blood, just like you and I. So they woke Jesus up, and he calmed the winds and the waves. So what can we learn from this story? The first thing I know I learned was storms can come up when you least expect it. Storms can come up when you least expect them. This storm seemingly came out of nowhere. Even though the disciples had been experienced with boating and stuff, this was like no storm they had ever faced. You see, in our lives, storms come up. The storms come up that can cause pain and fear and seemingly come out of nowhere. You see, some of you know some of the storms we faced last year that seemingly came out of nowhere. But God. Hallelujah. The second thing we can learn from this story is when a storm comes, make sure that Jesus is in your boat. You see, Jesus was in the boat, and I've already told you he was taking a nap. And yes, sometimes we do feel like, "Jesus, where are you? Where are you?" when we're facing a storm. But if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my friend, you need to know, you need to remember that when you are facing a difficult time, when you are going through a storm, even though it may feel like Jesus is asleep in the boat, he knows everything you are facing, and he's already seen the beginning to the end, and he will take care of your needs. He will bring you through the storm. The third thing that I learned, and don't think I'm almost done, because I have several points in this, three things. When you feel like you are about to drown, cry out to Jesus. The disciples, like I already told you, they were human just like you and I. And when they were facing this, they didn't just go, "Hey, Lord, you might want to wake up. We got a crisis here." They were like, "Jesus, wake up. We're going to drown." I don't know about you, but I've been through difficult circumstances where I have cried out and said, "Jesus, if you don't intervene, I don't know what I will do. But God, I know that I know that I know you are more than able and you will intervene in my situation." Amen? Hallelujah. I remember last year during the hurricane. I remember during the night getting up and looking out of the bedroom window and seeing our neighbor's tree and seeing the effects of the wind. That tree was doing this. I mean, it wasn't just, it was blowing and blowing and blowing. And I was like, "Wow, I don't know if that tree's going to make it or not. I just can't even imagine." That showed me how strong that storm, that wind really was. Well, I did some research about how a storm affects trees. And the first thing I learned about trees and how they're affected by the storms, here's my next first point. If you're taking notes, number one, excessive winds uproot large trees with weak root systems. Excessive winds will uproot trees with weak root systems. So today, we're going to compare those trees in a storm to our lives. The situations that come up unexpectedly in our lives. If you want to stand strong when that wind of life comes up, you must have a strong root system. Psalm 1 can show us how we do that. Psalm 1:1, it says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." Verse 2 says, "But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." Verse 3 says, "They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing each fruit with season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." In other words, they will produce actions and attitudes that please God. Come on, somebody. So basically, Psalm 1, chapter 1 is telling us, be careful who you listen to. Because people will tell you what you want to hear. They will tell you the ways of the world, what the world will tell you. But we need to listen to what God says. You want a strong root system? Be guarded as to who you listen to. Listen to God. But can I tell you this morning, my friend, I'm so amazed at how many Christians do not study the Word of God for themselves. If I were to ask, and I'm not, so do not raise your hand, but if I were to ask you to raise your hand this morning, and I said, how many of you studied the Word of God at least 5 days this week, and you would be truthful, I think we would be shocked at how many people could not honestly raise their hand. Now, I'm not telling you this to push you down, but to encourage you and build you up. If you want to have a strong root system, you want to be able to stand the storms of life because, my friend, they will come. You need to know who to listen to, and that is God. But if you are not studying God's Word, you don't know what He has to say when a storm comes up. I was shocked and appalled one day. I was speaking to a deacon in our church, not this church, praise God. It was another church we pastored years and years ago. But I was shocked and appalled when I asked this deacon one day, I said, "What have you been studying in the Word of God?" This deacon looked at me and said, "Oh my goodness. Well, I'll be honest with you, Pastor Jan. I don't read the Word at home. I get it when I come and hear it on Sundays and Wednesdays. And that's enough for me." And I was a lot younger back then, so I didn't have the boldness that I would have today. So if you say that to me today, you won't get the same response. I'm just telling you. I just walked away, shaking my head, going, "My God, my God, someone in our leadership in this church does not study the Word for themselves. What is wrong with this picture?" But if you tell me that today, and you're a deacon or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or any type of leader, I will lovingly be in your face and say, what is your problem? Get into the Word. Just because you sat in Sunday school maybe all your life, you don't know it all. Get into the Word for yourself. It is life-changing. It is the roadmap that will guide you through the storms of life. The second thing that I learned about how trees are affected in a storm is tree trunks fail at their weakest points, causing them to snap or break. What is our weakest point? I believe it's our hearts. I believe it's our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. If you don't want to snap or break during a storm of life, you better guard your heart. Because I promise you, the devil knows your weakest places. And he'll hit you with it every time. Every time. So don't make excuses for sin, my friend. Deal with it. You know, I just recently was talking to a precious Christian friend, and that person said to me, we were talking about a particular thing, and that person said to me, but everybody's doing it. Can I tell you, God did not call you to be everybody. God is looking for men and women and young people of God to rise up and be holy and righteous and walk a standard above. Don't be saying, well, they do it, so it must be okay. You need to do what God calls you to do. Hallelujah. Too many Christians want enough Jesus to hopefully slide into the pearly gates. But they don't want to have to do what God's called us to do. God wants you to be willing to study His Word and seek His face so that you can reach a host of people for Him. That's our purpose. You're never going to reach nobody if you are not going hard after God. You're not going to reach people for Jesus. In fact, people may look at you and go, you're a Christian? Really? And if someone would ever question you of that, you need to really ask God, God, where do I need to change? Because we should be different. People should see something different about us. Our language should be different. How we respond to people should be different. Now, we're not perfect. Sometimes we're going to mess up, but we need to fess up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to confess to that person, I did you wrong. We need to own our sin when we mess up and ask for forgiveness. Amen? The third thing I learned about how trees are affected by storms is this. Old injury sites or wounds are common on tree trunks, and these damaged areas can lead to tree failure under excessive loads. I think one of the biggest areas of damage in the Christian's life is unforgiveness. Well, there are walking wounded Christians, but I'm here to declare to you today, you do not have to be a walking wounded Christian. You can be healed. You can be set free. And it's called forgiveness. Choosing to forgive that person, that spouse, that child, that neighbor, that person that did whatever they did to you. Oh, but you don't know what they did. It doesn't matter. I know Jesus was willing to forgive me. And if He's willing to forgive me, I need to forgive them. But can I tell you very quickly, when you forgive someone, you're not excusing their behavior. You're not letting them off the hook. What you are doing is you are setting yourself free to be the amazing man or woman of God God's called you to be. So learn, forgiving is what God wants you to do so that you can be all that He wants you to be. The fourth thing I learned about trees affected by storms is a healthy tree is the best defense to challenge the tree, A healthy tree is the best defense to any challenge the tree may face in its lifetime. A healthy tree. I just had to go look out the window yesterday to look at the tree to see was, because I hadn't even paid attention, was it still standing that I had watched do this last year during the hurricane? It's still standing strong because it had good, healthy roots, and it was a strong, healthy tree. What makes a tree healthy? Appropriate watering and fertilization improves root growth and structure. It makes the tree more stable. So how do we compare that to us? Spending time in the Word of God every day, meditating on it, asking God how to best apply what I study to my life, and praying. These two things will make us strong and stable followers of Jesus Christ. When that hurricane of life comes and those winds begin to blow, you can stand strong and say, God, I know you are there for me. I think of my precious sister who laid her husband to rest last May. She didn't know how she was going to pick her head up off the pillow. She did not know how she was going to go forward. But I'm here to tell you, she has said to me, the amazing grace of God has carried me through. I think of one of our precious ladies that's here this morning with a smile on her face. And she just laid her husband to rest not too long ago. And I know there's times it's really hard. But she said to me, she said, I'm here to help serve today with a big smile on her face. Only the grace of God could carry somebody through a storm like that. We must be strong whatever we face. I think of, most of y'all know, when I was in my car 6 months ago and the waters of the storm literally began to rise, and I called my husband and I said, babe, my car has stalled. It will not start, and water is beginning to rise inside my car. He's like, babe, I'll be right there. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was scared. I wasn't scared for me because I knew God had my back. I'm just being real. I was scared my car, which was my little dream car that God blessed me with, was going to be ruined. Now, I'm going to tell you, a few years back, I would have been terrified for me probably. But I said that day, God, when I was sitting in that car, I said, Lord, are you going to give me my Nissan Rogue now? And do you know what? That's exactly what he did. Come on, somebody. When you are going through a storm, if you will take your eyes off of the storm and put it on the storm maker, hallelujah, God will amaze you. It may not be right when you think it's going to be. It may not be what you think it will be. But God knows exactly what you need. I know the peacemaker. I know him by name. I'm so grateful for the peacemaker. When you are facing, my friend, a most difficult situation, you don't know what to do. Instead of looking at that situation saying, I don't know what to do, you look at God and say, God, I don't know what you're gonna do, but I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Hallelujah. The next thing we need to look at for what makes a tree healthy is we need to monitor for pest problems and treat when needed to prevent insects and disease from weakening tree health. For us, I call that we need to guard little sins. You know, it's just a little lie. What's a little lie? You know, I'm going to confess something. I've told our youth before, and I'm going to confess before you. I used to steal a quarter once in a while off my dad's dresser chest thing. When he wasn't looking, I made sure he had several coins up there before I would take one so he wouldn't notice, because I didn't think he'd counted them all out. But you know what? I'm not proud of that. I could tell you worse things I've done, but that was just one of the things as a child. I grew up, I had the blessing and the privilege of being brought up in a godly home with godly parents who dragged me to church even if I was sick. You know, today, people, any and every little excuse not to go to church. Now, I mean, if you got a virus or something, don't bring that here. Let God bless you as you watch us online, because we don't want to spread that around. I'm not saying you should come to church with a fever or a virus. But what I am saying is you got a little sniffle. Oh, bless God, I better stay in bed today. But if you woke up with that same sniffle, you would jump out of bed and get to work. Hello? We need to quit looking for excuses to miss the house of God. We need each other. We need each other. We are here to encourage each other in the Lord. Amen? So we've got to remove diseased branches and minimize the spread of potential danger and damage. That means we've got to keep an eye on our heart. We've already talked about that. Make sure that we're walking in forgiveness. Make sure that we keep a check, that we're not walking around in a negative way. Make sure that we're not having a critical spirit. You find yourself with a critical spirit, you need to pray. God, help me. I don't know. Maybe you would even know. I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't be sure why you have a critical spirit. But if you're noticing yourself getting really negative or really, really critical, you need to think about who you've been hanging around or what you've been listening to or reading, because those we are around do affect us even if we don't want them to. So be very guarded. Get rid of those diseases, those things, anything that you can that would cause potential damage to your heart. You need to also cut out toxic people in your life. Now, if that's your spouse, I'm not saying go divorce your spouse. You just got to pray real hard, and you got to ask God to help you be the amazing, loving wife or husband that God's called you to be. Amen? But besides that, if it's somebody that's really bringing you down and you have a way to get away from them, you need to get away from them. Another thing I learned about trees in the storm is a healthy tree is able to move in the storm in whatever way it needs to move. And it will not break apart during the storm. Remember my tree in the neighbor's yard? But it did not break apart because it was strong and healthy. That says to me, as Christians, we need to be flexible. We don't need to be hard and legalistic. Bless God. We need to be healthy. We need to be loving, non-judgmental people of God. That's how we become spiritually nourished. When I was a child, one of my favorite hymns was, I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. See, trees that are planted by the water are constantly getting that nourishment. And it's my desire as a Christian, as a woman of God, as a pastor, as a wife, a mother, a grandmother, as a youth pastor, as a friend, to be spiritually nourished. So I must stay by the water, which is the living word of God, so that I can be that person God has called me to be. But can I tell you, even the healthiest of trees are success, Lord help my tongue today, are susceptible to wind injury. I thought about that, and I thought about Job. Job was an amazing man of God. And I'm not going to tell you all the things that he went through, but you can read the book of Job and find out for yourself. Even his friends were like, yo, Job, what kind of sin have you been into? Look at your life. You must have been done some big sin because your life is falling apart. And he was not in some kind of big sin. He wasn't in little sin. I mean, he was human. But he was living for God to the best of his ability. And God allowed a storm to rise up in his life to test him. Now let's look at practical application. What should we do when we face a storm? Number one, we need to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Talk to him about your storm, but make sure that you're talking to him every day, not just when a storm arises. The second thing we can do when we face a storm is trust. Place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we come to recognize, we come to realize that God really is who God says He is, we can do what God says we can do. You see, God sees the beginning of your life. He knows the very end. He's not asleep in your life. He knows, but sometimes He's quiet because He's putting you through a test. And that old saying, the teacher is always quiet during the test, doesn't mean the teacher's not there, just quiet, allowing us to grow. I remember several years ago, I was in an airplane. The turbulence was horrific. And there was this precious young couple sitting on the other side of me. And we had already shared who we were, what we did. And I told them, you know, they asked me. And I said, you know, I'm a pastor, blah, blah, blah. My husband and I, da, da, da. And that was before the turbulence hit. When the turbulence began to hit and it got really, really rough, I was praying, not because I was scared I was going to die. I was scared I was going to throw up because I don't do well with a lot of motion. But that precious couple got out their little rosary and they started doing the rosary and she grabbed my hand and she said, "Are we going to be okay? Are we going to be okay?" And I said, "My friend, we are going to be fine." I said, "I have a whole church of people that are praying for my safety. They're praying that God will bring me home safe. And if He's going to take me home safe, guess what? He's going to take you home safe too. So we are fine." They said, "Well, would you pray for us?" I said, "Absolutely." Right there on the airplane, I grabbed that precious young lady's hand and we began to pray. And I prayed probably a way she had never heard prayer done before, but that's okay. I just said, "God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to calm this storm." And do you know, it was no time, and we were out of that turbulence. There is a God. It's precious because I still have that rosary today. They gave it to me to always remember them. God is with us in the storm. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Whatever you are facing, big things, pray about it. Trust Him. Little things, pray about it. Trust Him. Can I just tell you for a minute? Y'all, God is not up there looking down to just watch you do something wrong. God is the amazing Father who loves you just the way you are. God has such incredible plans for your life. And some of you are like, but I'm 60 years old. I'm 70 years old. What could God do with me? I can tell you He can do amazing things in and through you if you will trust Him. You see, it's not about Him up there and me down here. It's about relationship. It's about having a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about loving Him, knowing He loves you. He's not mad at you. He has great plans for you. Oh, my friend, God's not watching for you to mess up. He's saying, "Come on, baby girl. Come on, my son. I love you. Let me help you." So when you're facing a difficult storm in your life, and we've all been through them, pray to the God who hears and loves and cares and will guide and direct you, and then trust Him. When I was a little girl, I loved to stand on the top of the step and my daddy be down there and him say, "Jump, baby girl." Do you think I was like, "Are you going to catch me? Are you sure you're going to catch me?" No. Y'all think I'm going to jump, don't you? That's not going to happen. Used to, I would have, but I would for the next week, I would live regrettedly. So we won't do that. But no, I would jump into my daddy's arms. Why? Because I knew my father would not drop me. I knew he would never intentionally hurt me. He used to scare the living daylights out of my mother. My dad's 6'2". My mom is 4'11", I think. And my dad would take me and throw me up in the air and catch me. And my mom would be like, "Oh, babe, you're going to drop her." Thank God I was a child and I trusted my dad. If you're wondering, no, he never dropped me. I'm like this because it's just who I am. But I trusted my father. And if we can trust our earthly father, some of you cannot, but some of you can or could. But we can trust. How much more can we trust our heavenly Father, who will never drop us, who will never purposely hurt us? He may allow situations to come up in our lives that are painful, but it's to draw us closer to Him. It's to help us, to strengthen us, because the truth is, when a young tree is planted, if possible, it's best not to, I'd never heard of this term till I studied trees this week, it's best not to guy them, not to put like supports on them, but to let them, if at all possible, grow up learning how to bend with the storms. That's what makes the tree stronger. So my friend, when you're going through a painful time, you think about that tree. You're growing stronger. Yes, it may hurt. Yes, it may be painful. But God, the Father who will never leave you or forsake you, who will bring you through, will carry you. Several months ago, I remember standing in my bedroom, bawling my eyes out, saying, "God, I don't know what your choice is in a particular situation. But I'm declaring right now, whatever you choose, I will serve you. Whatever you choose, I refuse to be angry at you." And sometimes He brings us to those places. But you better mean it. Because we don't know what His choices are. But I can promise you, whatever they are, it's going to be better for you in the long run. A few months ago, I was studying the book of Job, and one of the things I read in the study notes was Job's greatest test was not the pain he suffered, but that he did not know why he was suffering. Think about that. The pain was horrific. He lost all of his children in one day. He lost all of his wealth, and he was a man of great wealth. And even his best friends were going, "Yo, what have you done? You must be got some deep secret sin." All of these things were coming against him. That was not the worst part. The worst part is he did not know why are these things happening. But instead of getting angry at God, he said, "God, though you slay me, I will trust you." So when you are walking through the most difficult times of storms in your life, you must pray and you must trust. And number three, you must move forward. And I am getting close to closing, so just so you're aware. When you feel God is leading you, you need to move forward in faith and obedience. Let's talk about Naaman for just a moment. 2 Kings, Naaman was a man, a great leader, and he had leprosy, and he had heard about a prophet who could heal. So he wants to go to this prophet, and he says, let's pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away very angry. He said, I thought surely this great man of God would come and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over me, and I would be cleansed of leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed so that when he turned, he went away in rage? Because Elisha had sent word to tell him, go dip in the muddy Jordan River 7 times. Naaman did not like that. He wanted the great mighty man of God to come and put his hand over him and wave his hand and heal him. But that was not God's plan. So Naaman went away angry. Some of Naaman's servants came to him and said, my father, if the prophet would have told you some great, fabulous thing to do for you to be healed, would you not have done it? And I can just picture Naaman thinking, well, yeah, of course I would have. Then they said, how much more should you just go? Just go dip in the Jordan River. What's it going to hurt you? So what? You get muddy. What if you happen to get cleansed? And so Naaman decided to go and dip 7 times in that muddy Jordan River. And when he came up the 7th time, his body was cleansed and clear like a young person's skin. You see, sometimes we think we know what God should do. We want to tell God how to fix our situation, how to fix our storm, because, you know, after all, we do know what's best, right? No, we don't. If we did, we would be God. But we got to trust God Almighty. God, I don't understand the situation, but I trust you. When God tells you to do something and you don't understand it, it does not even make sense to you, but you know God has spoken, you need to walk forward in confidence, in faith, and obedience. Even if people are going, what are you doing? If you've heard a word from God, stand on that word. Amen? The last thing, number 4, is develop a daily walk with God. You see, God wants more than crisis prayers. How many times do people, hello, America, we're not going to pray in the schools, we're not going to pray, but then a major crisis comes and all of a sudden, all of America, yes, God, everybody pray. But I'm here to declare to you today, my friend, God is not looking for crisis prayers. He's looking for a devoted man and woman and young person of God that has a relationship with Him. Now, I'm not telling you when a crisis comes, you should not cry out to God. Of course you should. You have every right to. But it's time that we wake up and realize, don't just call on God in a crisis. Love Him as the amazing Father that He is. Go to Him with the big things, with the little things. Go to Him just to tell Him how much you love Him. This afternoon, God willing, we are going to get in that little royal blue Nissan Rogue, my little blessing from God, and we are going to drive to Georgia to see my precious mom and my precious dad. And I look forward to putting my arms around them and saying how much I love them. How much more does God want to hear from us? A lot of you are parents in this room. How does it make you feel when your child just calls you and says, I just called to tell you I love you? Young people, you should go home and wrap your arms around your mama, your grandma, your auntie, whoever's raising you. And you should tell them I love you and mean it with all of your heart. Let them know how much you love them. But all the more, how much should we let our Father God know that we love Him? Hallelujah. God will use storms to cause us to grow stronger in our daily relationship with Him if we will allow Him to. When you go through a hard time, it's good to look back at another storm you went through and remember how God brought you through. Because if He did it then, He'll do it again. Won't He do it? Won't He do it? That will encourage you to believe that God is more than able. I want to conclude with this question. When you're going through a storm in your life, do you say, "Why me?" Or do you say, "God, use me"? Would everyone stand to your feet? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know in a crowd this size, some of you are going through some really difficult things. Or you've just came through a really difficult circumstance. But I want to encourage you today, my friend. We serve a God who is more than able. If I had time, I could tell you story after story after story of the times that God has brought me personally through some incredible storms. If we had time, I could have many of you share time after time after time where God has brought you through incredible storms. I just want to encourage you today. I'm going to open up the altar area, this area down here, in just a minute. First, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it would be my greatest honor to pray with you the prayer of salvation. To know the God that loves you, that created you, is not mad at you, has great plans for your life. It would be my greatest honor to pray with you. So in just a moment, I'm going to step down on the floor. And if that is you, would you please come? Pastor will join me and we will pray with you. I also want to encourage you, if there are those of you that you are walking through an incredible storm in your life right now, it may be financial, it may be a relationship, it may be physical, I want to encourage you to come, because as I said a moment ago, we are here for each other. Sometimes when you don't even feel like praying, you need to be able to pick up the phone to a man or woman of God who can pray for you. And we want to pray for you today. I'm going to ask the worship team to begin to sing. And I'm going to come down here on the floor. Pastor Tim's going to join me. And if you want to commit your life to Christ, it is the greatest decision you will ever make. And if you need prayer for a storm, don't not come because you think, "Oh, somebody might think I'm not a Christian." That doesn't matter. We are all sinners that need a Savior. We all go through storms. Don't let what somebody may think hold you back. But let's come and let's pray together. And if you just want to come and find a place to pray on these steps, you're welcome to do that. This is a house of prayer right now in the name of Jesus.